welcome to the unofficial Unreal Engine podcast, where we talk about all things Unreal Engine and also the color blue. We're your hosts. My name is Alex, and today, special guest host. I have to know, like, where in Zoom I'm pointing. He's usually behind the camera, doing all of our sound, doing all the amazing production work that needs to happen with these episodes. It's Alan Scott. Welcome, Alan.
Hey, kids. How's it going?
Good. And then below us is our good friend for the evening. Welcome, John.
Howdy. How y'all doing this evening? It's great to be with you. And yes, I am brought by the color blueberry this evening, it seems, with the LED trickery in the room. Yeah.
It works. It totally works.
That wasn't from a Wonka factory trip. I hope not.
It is. Absolutely. Yes. Veruca.
There you go.
Veruca. Yes, that's right. Jeez. Alan, you are the one who made this fabulous connection with John. Why don't you tell us a little bit about why we decided to have John on for today's episode?
Well, there's a very good reason, not besides John himself, but there's been a lot of improvements in the entire pipeline from start to finish that I use the entire pipeline, and it's into such an exciting phase. And I thought that now would be a good time to introduce it to Unreal Engine users that might not be aware of the full pipeline that they have available. So that's the first one. And the second part is that John would be the first guest host or guest that we've had that has received an Epic Mega Grant.
Yes, something we talk about a lot.
Yeah, and that's exciting because we'd like to, you know, maybe broaden in and show the whole world that there's a lot of resources out there. You just got to know where to look, and there's a couple we're going to touch on tonight.
That's awesome.
Absolutely. We can talk about the kind of rocks we flip over. I'm a country guy, so we're flipping rocks all the time, looking for good opportunities.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it's excellent to be with you guys. Thank you for the kind words in the introduction. You know, it's been a cool ride to get to this podcast, actually. I'm 23 years in with Reillusion, so I'm the first obsessive user, I think, as well as an OG employee. But it really is about a passion, and that speaks to I'm not speaking only for myself. I'll speak for like the many different product managers and engineers that have been with Reillusion almost every step of the way. So when you're using our products, you're using, people's real, their passion. I mean, they've poured a lot of time into this. It's not changed hands. It's been our thing all the way along. And there's a lot of pride that goes into everything that we produce. So there's real people behind all of this. And they're really happy to hear about, you know, the outreach that we continue to have with other communities, because that's a philosophy that we share, certainly with the way that this is all growing, where everything wants to be connected. And that just dovetails right in with what, you know, we believe and how we've developed our tools, because we've been making animation tools since before YouTube. So we would make things and people would say, well, that's awesome, but what are you going to do with it? And, you know, now we don't have that question anymore. It's like, what are you not going to do with these assets and this kind of creativity? And so everybody's just in this wild, energized momentum to bring more connectivity to each of the communities and each of the asset, like digital content creation tools. And Epic themselves are making leaps and bounds to do things more and more in engine, but that doesn't mean that they're building walls around it. They're just making it easier for people like Reillusion to continue to provide bridges of content and all of that. So, you know, this kind of touches on a lot of aspects from the spectrum of time I've been with the company to kind of our aspirations and stuff. And I know we're going to we're going to hit on all this, but thank you for having me on, and appreciate that. And we'll see what all we can explore and reveal, and hopefully, have a good time.
I have a quick three questions. A,
sure.
What's your title?
Yes. My favorite title, is Dad. No, So there's a blank. No, I'm vice president of product marketing is what gets printed. But I, like everybody else, we pick up and do lots of things. I work with product development and guidance with my team. I work on vision with business development and partnerships. And fortunately, I've just got an awesome group of people around me that help me do, what we do. It's a great company. Really, Reallusion is a really fantastic company full of a lot of people that are looking out for what's next. We try to stay around, not, a year behind. We try to stay very plugged in with what's going to come next, and really how to keep you guys connected with the tools that you love and need in order to have characters and animations and all of that. So that's really the mission with it.
Perfect. The second question is company-wise, what's the size of your company in locations?
So the company itself, we have a large amount of folks in Taipei, Taiwan. That's where the majority of the R&D takes place. However, we're global. We just had events in Brazil. We just had events here in the United States with NAB and SIGGRAPH and the Game Developers Conference. So we're very active in the community in that way. And that's how that's where we're networking, talking with folks at Epic, with folks at Rococo, at Movella, at other companies where we're really, real people are getting together and discussing what, changes are in the industry and, how we're all navigating those as a company and as partners. And so those are excellent times, but we are, we're a global company. Most of the R&D is in Taipei. I'm in Kentucky as well as in Atlanta and anywhere else that needs me. Then also I have a partner up in Vancouver, and then also partner out in California that handles different things. So we are spread out a bit, but we're very concentrated throughout R&D in Taipei.
Great. And the last one is, what is the name Reallusion? Where does that come from? What's the meaning behind it?
So there, the beginning of the company, there's, first of all, there's not like a definitive answer. So there's no Rosetta
Stone. Okay.
But I can give you kind of the idea. The genesis of the company was really about facial animation. And that's so great because it's where we still are today, in so many ways. And with the facial animation we were doing at the time, it was about taking, four dots, eye, mouth, boom. Now, when you did that, there was a wireframe mask that magically appeared. This is before you could do it on your stinking iPhone, because there was no stinking iPhone.
Which, and I love, by the way.
Right. And
I actually like that mesh when the face thing finds you. It works for me. So I geek out on it. I like it too.
It's like Lawnmower Man. It's the whole, we get that. It's great. yes, there it is. There's the references. But so the first time I saw it, I was working, it was, 1999, actually. I was working at an incubator, working with different .coms that were, emerging in Boulder. We were just kind of bringing people up and helping people get off the ground. And my job was to build their website at the time. And so I was doing macromedia flash animation. Exactly. I know.
All this page maker, but there we go. Anyway.
Exactly. Yes. I was doing this exact thing. I was a big macromedia fan. God rest its soul. And so, but the animator in me, the web animator, that was constantly trying to put a grapefruit through a straw to make, you know, stuff available on the internet, walks into a conference room and sees these guys put four dots on a picture, and it talked. And I was like, all right, you know, you got my attention. I spent Howdy all day stranger. Making glorified PowerPoints, you know, so you got my attention. So anyway, long story short, that technology is very much the evolution of what's behind Cartoon Animator, our 2D animation program. What I saw that day was Crazy Talk, the very first version, which was our facial animation that would only do text-to-speech at the time.
That was ahead of its time in 1999. At text-to-speech, that's almost like AI revolution could start now. That's everywhere what it's doing now.
It wowed me for sure, and the evolution picked up quick actually after that, as far as what was available. The audio came forward. The product originally called It's Me, which was kind of a talking bobblehead, dancing bobblehead that you could personalize. You would fit a photo and you would put it on this bobblehead looking thing, for lack of a better example, and you could put animations on it, which was motion capture. And then you would make a little caricature of yourself. And that was the genesis of iClone. That product was called It's Me. And that was the second product we came out with. It was real just fun with your photos at the time, fun with digital photos. It was all about, everybody had a digital camera. You didn't have a phone with your camera. Nobody did that, you know. But everybody had, you know, a Sony this or a Panasonic that or a Fuji this. And exactly. I know. Mm. Yeah. And so anyway, this is where we all come from as far as how do we get to where we are today. All of that evolved quite rapidly as gaming systems evolve, if you think about it. As exponentially as your video games got better, your capabilities for digital storytelling also did. And so we were able to continue to, you know, build upon that, and characters with, personalized faces and dances became narrative storytelling tools with multiple cameras and special effects and the capability to take it out to other engines and character options that allow you to really customize something and own it and publish it as IP in a game or in a film, or, you know, and start to rival what's happening with everything else on the indie side as just a capable tool to help people grow. And it's found its way from these beginnings all the way over to production lines as well. Character Creator found its beginnings as in beta with Suicide Squad, helped previs 16 scenes the characters. All the characters that were prevised for Suicide Squad were all done in Character Creator. And so is what they all did. They're planning for the actual shoot before principal photography started. And that's the reason why Headshot's called Headshot. We actually, it's from Suicide Squad, because we use the headshots to actually build the characters. And so it was like, well, we're calling it Headshot.
That's so crazy.
Anyway, it came from that. So the, yeah, they've had quite a journey and been in different places. So we serve lots of different, you know, ideas and people that have aspirations, people that are touching animation for the first day, first time, all the way to people that are like, I live, eat, and breathe this, and I've got credits a mile long that how I've found our tools in their hands as well. So, you know, we serve a lot of people, and hopefully we got big ears for everybody.
Hear that.
That's funny. We, as we teased at the front of the show, Reolution received an Epic Mega Grant in 2019. I'm trying to remember. John,
I don't have the grant in front of me.
No, it's all good. So, could you tell us
that,
a bit of
approx?
Yeah, about that. Right as the Live Link came about.
Mm-hmm. So in that yeah, it was. It's interesting. Everybody, I think, where it comes with to these things has marches a different path. And for us, it was more of a a symbiosis. Of a moment that was occurring. And that was this, we were actively working with them on connecting through LiveLink. Mm-hmm. And Epic has done such wonderful job of making themselves available. And LiveLink was, of course, open source that everybody could jump in and start working with it. But that also came with great engineering support. Dave Hibbets, who was heading that up, was material with working with us on that in the beginning. And so that kind of set the highway for everything else to occur, is that LiveLink plugin. Now, when we do that, like, you know, there's the velvet hammer that comes out every now and then that our users are our customers, and bless them. But, you know, we do have to keep the lights on. So when we produce things and we put it out, we do typically, I'm the guy, I can tell you, I will say this, I'm the guy that's always like, that needs to go in the software, that needs to be included, that needs to be, but I don't always win those battles, obviously. And, but it's something that, you know, when we put it out, certainly we, you know, we produced that as a plugin. And long story short, the Mega Grant recognized a lot of the co-development that we were bringing to the ecosystem. Okay. And you can imagine that everything that happens with Character Creator is not an accident where it falls into Unreal Engine or any other environment or, you know, workspace, that it's WYSIWYG. When you work with our tools in Character Creator, it is going to go into that next one, and you're not going to go, whoa, what happened? You know, that's what that we are always going to rail against that moment for everything. Whenever you're saying, I want to go here with it, and that those destinations are going to change. No question. They're always going to grow. So we're constantly working on making sure that when we say export FBX for Maya, for Unreal, for so on, it's going to be exactly what you expect. Things are going to be where they go. If you're an Unreal person, when you go poking around going, where are all these things? They are exactly where they should be. Everything, the shaders are all assigned properly. You know, it takes a lot of the guesswork out, and, you know, your stinking eyelashes are visible. All of that stuff is going to be where it is. Right. So, but with the amount of content and that kind of throughput, it's just important, I think, that, you know, that's something that we keep a quality button on, so that, you know, that connectivity is always there, you know, throughout each one.
So you, before you applied for the grant, you had already had a working relationship with them?
So I think that, it was in the nature of our LiveLink plugin And so we start there, right? And so we built that. The Epic or the Mega Grant enabled that to become free to everyone at that point. So that was a really nice residual for that, as we enabled that to be free. And it fosters the greater thing beyond monetary that everyone should realize, no matter what level you enter on Megagrant, is this. A lot of people get stuck on the money because obviously it's money, but the money is secondary to the connectivity, to the people, to the community, to, like, as developers, if you're serious about your project, even if it's like you're creating a film or you're creating a game or whatever it is you got your grant for, a simulation, whatever, then the resources that are there for you are awesome, and the people and that sort of thing. So that's where I think the Mega Grant gets a lot of a lot of its value to me, because the monetary stuff varies. I think that right now, my opinion, and it's just mine, personal, is that I feel like more attention is being given now to projects that are coming from like Unreal Engine, Fortnite, and that sort of thing. And I think that's pretty exciting. It's being taught a lot in the education workspace now. And it's, it's another way for people to enter the world, and kind of wait, you know, walk into the pool instead of dive, sandboxes and the like. So, of course we're working to play in all those arenas.
So my next into that one would be, tell me about Reillusion's pitch and produce program.
Yeah. So Pitch and Produce is a program that is seasonal. It doesn't have a beginning and an end like spring, summer, or fall, but it is seasonal. And so we'll open up a season and fund it, and then we'll have a closing round. But basically, it is an opportunity for anyone that has an idea on how or a project that incorporates Reillusion tools to pitch their project in a way that they can ask for everything from content, software support, potential monetary, you know, everything is kind of based on what it is they're looking for and what they need. And we have a committee that looks at these. We usually take a selection from, there's a committee that'll take a look at everything that comes in, and then there'll be a selection that comes from that. And then, you know, we start looking at those things, and, you know, we don't put timelines on it because it's not fair to really everybody. We try to give everybody the same amount of consideration. So as things come in, we give their time to be able to be, you know, evaluated, and, you know, you'll hear back, if there's an opportunity for us to work together.
So your main thing is to help with support from all directions, just like the Mega Grant.
We do
in your own little way to have access to Reillusion's software suite.
No, that's true. And it's really fashioned in a custom way. It's tailored to the need of the production of because we've had things that have, you know, traveled around and been awarded, like Hazdulu's animation projects. We've had other short films that have gone on, and game projects, VR projects, experiences for like things like North Carolina State did something like the first African baseball team experience. And so you were able to be in the park. And they also did a recreation of a Martin Luther King Jr. speech, and they were able to, you know, work on that. So all of these things get different attention for, you know, so many different reasons. So it's not always, you know, just a short film or a game. It can be so many different experiences that that catch the eye. But I think that for just like with Mega Grant, for Pitch and Produce, it really is all about, it is about the pitch. You know, like I've seen good. I've seen really bad. I've seen good ideas pitched back. So I work with my brother is a professor at Georgia State University, and one of the classes that they teach is it has a heavy element on pitch because they have a project that they have to complete. It's a studio. You work on it through a couple of semesters, but part of that is conceptualization and pitch, and you really have to get your project approved. And so that's part of it. They, you know, like you've got to be able to sell yourself. And that's no different with something like this. And so bring your passion and share that and share visuals and examples. And it's always good to hear about how you're going to incorporate our products. That is certainly a plus. Otherwise, we're just really going to wish you a lot of luck. But really, though, we do hear from some super creative folks. And so it's a fascinating thing to be on the receiving end.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. So, awesome. I ask everybody to, if you're interested, and everything from like potential, just I need content for a project and I'm already in the ecosystem, to I need to work in a work group because I got five guys or ladies and gentlemen that I want to work with, that we all own different licenses and content. But if we get together, we can make a project. There's lots of different ways that we can help you collaborate. So pitch and produce can take different shapes instead of just like, I need, you know, $5,000 because I need to buy a new computer to render this movie, or I need to buy a 4090 because we all want more of those.
That's awesome. Yeah. So it's always been something I've seen since you started it, and I thought that was amazing for you guys to offer. So I'm looking through the company's suite of software. We start with Character Creator from the base that gives you the entire ability to make full blown models, especially with the headshot plugin that you were talking about, now version 2, where you can make a digital duplicate of everyone that you know, which is how I pitch to my friends and I sucker them into my project. Cause look, I'll make you a 3D model.
Right.
And they're like, yes. And so, yeah, so that's gotten me a lot of good play. So the thing I like about Reillusion software is that you have to play in everyone's sandbox. So you can't play favorites. You have MetaHuman integration, mm-hmm. right? MetaHuman is a direct contradiction to what Character Creator is. You're in the same sandbox, but you know what? You can bring them into iClone and they'll still love you. And you've got all of your blenders and you've got all your ZBrushes. And then you also have the motion capture intake HUD. How does that help simplify everyone's pipeline if they're doing that?
So if you're adopting the Reillusion Character Creator ecosystem, if you're saying I'm going to use these characters, whether it's background, mid-ground, hero, whatever you want, but if you're going to use this as a character set, you're choosing one of the most versatile character bases that is there, because your options, you're not going to be locked in like, well, I chose this and we made a big investment in this and now we've got to pivot potentially. Well, you can if you need to. If you want to do I've had to do tests where I needed to test different for a client, different path traced environments. And so I didn't know where we were ending up in the end, to be honest, in a couple of different cases, because of it was going to be the client's pipeline decision. And so, you know, like, but the versatility was definitely there. Now, with Character Creator, it's not just about being able to have a character that's incredibly versatile when you export it, but it's right from the beginning. You have a highly morphable topology that can be everything from creatures to humans, humanoids, to, you know, lovely characters, hideous ones, and whatever it is that you want. But there's a lot of detail with that, a lot of layers to that as well, from the skin layers to the multiple layers of the eye for the eye shaders, you know, the details on the muscles of the face to be able to morph that. And there's a lot of tools that are built around the base system of Character Creator, which is everybody can understand is a base morph system. Okay. Face and body, you can morph it, do whatever you really want. However, it's all about the controls, right? So you've got things like Headshot that allows you as a plugin to take a single photograph and then bring that in and go ahead and map that to any character. And then do create any digital character from that, of course.
There's lots of different by the way. Not a small feat.
Yeah. Now, everything's modular. That's true. That is true. So entry-wise, you get started with the software with what you need. However, you know, not everybody needs Motion Live plus all of the motion profiles. What you may need is Motion Live plus Rococo's smart suit and, you know, their head cam or Live Face with the facial AR kit and or Perception Neuron or a Link suit from Movella or something like that. So it's all modular depending on what you have and what you need. And that's how we outfit it. If you are someone that wants to build a huge library of characters and clothing and have all of those options, that's there for you. If you are truly I'm doing motion capture cleanup, I'm working with characters that are just going to suffice for previs or something, there's totally options there for you. So it's really modular to what you need for that. So the way that the plugins are laid out work between both software. So you've got Character Creator and things like Headshot that allow you to do more with creating better characters. Things like our wrinkle systems to be able
which
to
which I recently wrinkles. Upgraded. Thank you.
Yeah.
Very much.
Okay.
Oh, thank I'll show you. I'll that. Show you soon. Thank you. Thank you. Oh my God, you're gonna love it. All right. Next. Sorry.
So all of that's modular, obviously. And then whenever you have a character that you're happy with, of course. Or even at a work in progress, you can send that over to iClone and start working in animation and scene layout and that sort of thing, working with your cameras. And that we can go a mile deep on that alone, but just to gloss over that part completely real quick, which is a lot, is that the next step is what gets really crucial, and that is how do I package all this stuff that I spent so much time in up and put it over there in Unreal and hit the oh my God beauty buttons, you know, and go to other engines and go, you know, go wherever you need to go. Send stuff to ZBrush if you need to and round trip and come back. All of these things are relationships that we've spent lots of time working on as people that have evolved into really good, you know, technology so a lot of sound partnerships with Reillusion that are behind all these plugins that are not just things that we've added ourselves. It's really about connecting the experience because it's how we work, right? We don't work as a brand. I don't go over and work only in the Adobe shoebox, right?
Yeah.
Or whatever. I've got everything. It's just like anybody does, but we're only as good as how we can wield the hammers, not how many hammers we got. So that's the point, and that's how we try to get out of the way, but be deep enough for people to connect and take things where they want it to go. So we spend a lot of time building those bridges.
Yeah, and it's very cool that they don't have to sacrifice assets they've already had. They can bring it in. It's a new environment, and they already have the models. They have the models. Maybe they just need a hat to put on the model. Maybe they just need to make a Gangnam-style dance video, but they can't do it. But it's all funneled and packaged. It just works now. Mm-hmm. And that's mainly why I wanted to bring this now is because with all of the improvements, it just works. And you get, once you get out of the way of the how, the what comes out. And when you're freeing these new tools, the motion capture and the live and the auto rigging, and you, if you don't have to spend another half an hour wondering why my hair didn't import or why my arm was twisted like this and something like that, if it gets it out of the way and you can start creating, that's where the magic happens. And that's why I really wanted to have this discussion with you guys, because you've got in new, I see what this last week with the auto rig or the CCUE rig tool.
Yeah, so this is plays right into your wheelhouse, because now with 5.3 and 5.4, you have the ability to use the UE control rig that's automatically set up with a plugin for character creator characters. So now, obviously, it's all the control that you know of what you've seen coming with control rig right now. Automatically set up without having to be created individually for each character creator character. And then in the sequencer, you have the ability then to really easily do final touch. I've spoken to different studios that are migrating their animators from industry standard like Maya and so on into Unreal Engine. And part of that was the strength of the UE control rig as it was coming up. And 5.4, I think, is a real testament for that. Reillusion is right in time with our solution as well. So the character creator is able to take control of that as well. And sequencer, you'll be able to do all your finish animations or affect that there, not necessarily have to go jump back and forth each time. So character creator would be much more viable even further down the pipeline of your projects. There's also the capabilities for the MetaHuman animator to have some fun with that too. So in an experimental format, of course, but you can experiment there too.
Great.
Alex, yeah. So, but it's free as well. The control rig is free for anyone to download, and runs as a plugin on top. It's all the beauty of what you would expect with your character animations over there.
Yeah. Part of the Reillusion systems ecosystem, besides character creator, besides iClone and cartoon animator, you've got multiple storefronts,
right,
for the marketplace and content place. So the reason I chose Reillusion is because of the complete pipeline from start to finish, from the creating of the characters to the clothes to accessories and all of the details I can get. But to also be able to just package it and deliver it in a way without, I don't have to think about it. And because I'm not technically, I don't know blueprints or coding, and math makes me nauseous. So if it looks pretty and I can do it with a wonderful, just big work button, that's awesome.
Right.
And the Reillusion software doesn't do scary coding things, with the one exception of the first generation of LiveLink that made this beautiful, nice, user-friendly situation and popped up this big black coding window.
Yeah.
And it scared the crap out of me.
You know what, though? You could use it to impress your friends. You could say, listen, watch. Double encryption. Watch. There we go.
Yeah. It was nothing that I thought the first time I did it, I thought I did something wrong, because this is a big black DOS window. Who's working in DOS anymore, right? And then it's telling me all of these things that aren't working, and then it loads up in Unreal and everything works.
Yeah, if you didn't read that, you were good. When you started reading that, it was like, wait a minute, what do you mean you can't find that? You know? So I agree. Luckily, we decided to start giving the world power before we had completely made it beautiful in the background. But hey, we've prettied the place up for 5.4, and now you get these nice little progress bars that
it choked me up. I swear,
right? It's going to update you with each asset. It's like, oh, okay, very well informed now.
My friends were already lost when I was showing them my capabilities, and then that happened. They're like, "What the?" So that was awesome, and so as far as the Unreal Engine advancements of late, besides not taking 3 hours to import an FBX file, which is how Unreal Engine used to work. That wasn't your end.
I remember those days.
That wasn't
Alex, on us. It was a shared experience. We all were in that together. Let's put it that way. We were all in that together.
Yeah. So that for me, that shaved years off my life. Or gave me years back on my life is what the method meant to say. So tell us what you are excited about on the horizon with the UE, with the Unreal Engine system itself that you think is steps in the right direction.
I think, Control Rig and more animation capabilities, I think is always great. I love that. We just recently started with this, I think one version back of the Unreal Live Link plugin, we started the capability for you to be able to have a sequencer write based on the Switch camera, so you can lend your projects in iClone, which many times I'm using proxies for my sets. But I'm lensing my characters, and I just know there's a pillar there, there's stairs there, and I'll stay the hell away from that. But you know, over here I'm filming all my characters, and it works beautifully. So I send that over now, and the sequencer, and anything that can help me just save a minute over an Unreal is fine. I feel comfortable in there, working in there, especially when I'm working on a cinematic. It's just a cousin to what I'm normally doing, but it is so sweet to be able to just have shortcuts, and that boop. Is another
right? One little boop, and your entire work. Just sends it. It loads it. It makes a new thing. It lines it up, and you're done. I mean, it really, really impressed me just how fast it just works now. I wasn't expecting the sequencer thing. It wasn't even on my roadmap of the capabilities that it could do, along with what you introduced a few steps back. I think right when 5 and stuff came out, was the ability to send stuff from Unreal into iClone.
That's right.
That's the direction. Right. Yep. Blew my mind. Mm-hmm. And to have it be able to match up in Unreal and iClone at the same time and work in it, I mean, that was such a great addition. And none of the forums that I'm in were expecting it. And now just with the, like you said, the sequencer, it just works. Button. Yeah. Oh my, every minutes of time off ecosystem or off your project time add up everywhere.
Yeah. I think that one of the issues, and this is all software, this is not, I don't think that this is exclusive to Unreal Engine, but I believe that Unreal Engine in the past has had the kind of, there's been a fear to the approach of the hurdle for entry was pretty that was pretty steep to get over that for a lot of people, and understand the clicking of, okay, I get to this point and then I got to do all these things and then I got to do that. There was such a, you know, and then to get to something, that those gaps are starting to get much, much closer now together.
Yeah.
And not just our tools. There's other tools, you know, there's a whole community of tools that's working to help these kind of things happen and make it a better experience. And, you know, I love that we play our role in that, but it's definitely, you know, a part of how that all works, I believe, is that cohesiveness.
Yeah. That's cool. Perfect. A lot of good integrations recently that, just work, and it so that
you know things that could be coming are things that could be coming. I think, like I was mentioning, you know, more animation tools I think are great. The fact that we're seeing, you know, the more facial control rig, the body control, all of that is a great step. The integration of with how are the not only the characters are coming over, but now crowd sims. You know, you can bring over crowd sims as well. There's just character is not a singular, you know, any longer. I think that you can think of character as a body of population between one and, you know, like frankly, iClone push it to 200. You know, you've got the RTX in there, go for it. You've got the capability to do those kind of things and really push that. It's highly customizable on the crowd sim aspect of it. And of course, the beauty is that Epic has theirs as well. But all of this is options for the user. You don't have to do a whole lot of anything. You can find things that are comfortable for your workflow. And, you know, ReAllusion, we hope that there's tools in there for you from characters and from animation that will work there too. But MetaHuman is still a very great option. One of the options are, you know, that we provide are a UV that matches with MetaHuman. So whenever you do the CC to MetaHuman, or I'm sorry, the mesh to MetaHuman, if you use a CC character, then you can use our skin, because the UV is one-to-one with Unreal Engine. So you don't have to use the MetaHuman skin and our topology. You can actually use our topology and our skin. And it will go right on top of that. So, you know, these are the compatibilities that we as, like on the onset of how, but way before Mega Grants or anything like that, just I think is just a really good opportunity for folks. But it's more so about the capabilities that you can find as partners. And that's where the real value is, and how you can help each other evolve your projects, software, films, games, whatever they might be.
Yeah. Do you have any upcoming teases for the pipeline to share with
our viewers? So, there's a real update coming with characters. The next iteration of our character is going to see, I can tell you, is going to see an increase in topology, quite a bit. You're going to have like two subdivisions worth of detail that will be added to the character topology. So you'll have a more sculptable character, if you will. You'll still have lots of level of detail if you're looking for something that's highly capable for efficiency. But as far as the capability for much more high-end realism and animation, blend shape, capabilities, then this will add that for ZBrush artists or anyone that's wanting to add more detail or more sculpting to the character creations. So that's one thing. There's definitely other cool things on the horizon. There's excellent motion packs that are coming, things like skateboarding, BMX riding with animated accessories as well. So we've got some neat packs along the way.
You had a pack recently that is called Run for Your Life.
Yeah. That's right.
My, it looks really good. And I was kicking myself. I said, you know what? I need to get the wrinkles this time and then I'll get the right.
But, so let me tell you, I know I'll give a personal recommendation for those packs. The studio that creates those I've worked with on a number of occasions, and that's Monkey Chow. And these guys are great. Jeff Sheets runs of that studio, and they're these are all like amusement visualization folks in Orlando. So they're wacky and they're awesome. And so
there, there's actually them, a really good behind the scenes video. I watched it. I had just found it recently. Please do tell. Sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah, no, you're right, you can see on it. Yeah, you can see that there. So when we asked them for, like, we had some ideas, like, let's have some brainstorming ideas about our next mocap session. And one of those was Run for Your Life. And you can imagine when we got around to that, and there's four or five different ones on the table. When that one came out, it was like everybody was like, yeah, you know, of course, that sounded amazing. And the next thing we know, there's a giant lobster kaiju coming through a downtown scene. And
what was that?
yeah, there is a madness ensues. So it also created awesome amount of motions that that can be added to scenes that are, there it is, the Run for Your Life. Yeah.
Try to find the pack. It's
just right there in the essential there it is, Run for Your Life, that one.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah, these guys, you can hit that, but yeah, so
yeah,
you
can see, we'll, like, put that in the bag.
they're cinematic guys, like they are ladies and gentlemen, they're they know how to really sell their ideas. And it was a lot of fun. The behind the scenes are great. There's about 4 to 6 people that performed all these motions, and it culminated in a complete disaster in the best of ways.
Yeah, that with those, for some reason, with the lobster, but it looked real. I mean, and the living of it, just, it was very impressive. And I'll be getting that soon.
Yeah, the parents got upset that we were scaring the children like that, but there was no children involved.
Well, is there anything you want to add, Alex? You do, I was going to say Apple Vision Pro. Have you experienced it, John?
The Apple Vision Pro. Yeah, no, it's fantastic. I've been messing with VR since, you know, like, we were sliding phones into these cardboard apparatuses. So, anything that's AR, anything like that, I mess around with the Snap stuff, with, the Meta, as well. It's fun. Our content plays well there. So if I've got a dancing Spider-Man that I like to take around to different VR platforms to test with. So it's cool stuff. What about you guys?
Well, we have a segment that Alex has been doing about since it came out in before, and go for it.
Jeez. Yes. Well, and to put a button on that, John, have you tried out the What If experience that Disney and Marvel released last week?
I have not. Tell me about it.
Yeah, so I mentioned to Alan I was going to try to give a little bit of a review of the experience. I did record a video that is literally just my entire commentary going through the whole hour of it. It's a pretty long interactive narrative. But from an Unreal Engine perspective, it made me very inspired and excited and like, oh my God, ILM's done it. They've written, you know, the equivalent of polyspatial because they're talking to Reality Kit and they figured out, you know, stuff with eye tracking and more, you know, 2K per eye stuff and more foveated rendering. And so I'm going through the whole experience, appreciating the narrative and the incredible animation, which, who knows, might've been done with Real Illusion software for all we know. And then when I get to the end of the whole thing, I'm thinking back then to my fairly limited Apple Vision Pro experiments that I've been doing in Unreal Engine 5.4 and thinking, man, things are still so limited right now. And I just want to reach out to, you know, what ILM is able to do, but there's no indication that they're going to be releasing any of the code from their fork of Unreal Engine that has gone much farther than the official branch.
Yeah, it's early days still. It's exciting. I think like that, just like with AI, with all of it, like it's staying, keeping your finger on the pulse right now, even if we don't get access to it all, is so important to see where all of this is going. It's so rapidly evolving. So I keep a watch on screens, if you will, because it's always about where our content, our craft can go. And so these are also places, and but they're more than that. They're experiences, right? Interactive. It's that sort of thing. So we've got lots of new questions from users that are going in that round or in that realm now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other bit of news for the week, John, I'll put you on the spot again. Sure. Did you see Eminem's latest music video?
I have not actually seen the latest Eminem music video. Tell me about that.
It's making some waves in the Unreal Engine community. I mean, it's a fun music video, and anyone who has followed Eminem's career for the past 20 years, there's a lot of amazing callbacks to, like, you know, what he was doing, you know, a long time ago with a lot of the early music videos, you know, I'm the Real Slim Shady, and all those. But it's notable for the Unreal Engine community because of the fact that a lot of the music video is clearly done in Unreal Engine. A lot of the environments, a lot of the things they're recreating from, you know, Without Me and some of these earlier Eminem videos. But they actually use not just metahumans in the video, but like stock metahumans, like no change at all from the ones that just kind of come out of the box. And I think people were both impressed and also kind of like, really? Like, you didn't even want to change the hair or any of the default
clothing.
But look, you know, if it's a fun video.
You know, I mean, that I don't even have to see it. If you know, you know. All right. Like, that's like Kevin. Every time I see Kevin's in everything. I'm like, there's Kevin, you know, and that's the iClone default guy, you know, or Camilla. And it's, you know, I understand there's a mentality of somebody that's just like, I'm going to get that off the shelf and I'll put it in But if somebody got paid, and if you're getting paid, you better there do you a go. Little bit of work. Okay. Somebody got paid for that. Oh my.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
That's a good brand recognition for him, I guess.
Oh, yeah, there they are. Kevin and Nina. Hey, there's Kevin.
There's Kevin. There he is. Yeah.
Yeah, these just popped up on the Unreal site.
That's right.
On the marketplace this week.
For your control
rig. Yeah.
To go. That's right.
Auto build sequencer right in. We've got to wrap this up a little bit. Got a little bit of kitty with the test demo.
Yeah. Did you make these, Alan?
Yeah, this is my project. I had them dancing in the street, but I forgot to turn off the traffic. So the car drove over the cat, and it's just flipping over it. And this is the view from inside the car. The car flipped over because it hit the cat. So
I got you. I understand.
The physics of it hit it and the cat did it. So I meant to put this up earlier. This is the complete ecosystem that you can use. And I know, Alex, you've done a lot of work with the NVIDIA Omniverse stuff. Mm-hmm. And you can see that they've got the AccuLip. Was that recently updated, John?
Yes, absolutely. So AccuFace, we have, the AccuFace in correlation with NVIDIA enables your RTX to be a video-powered facial animator, both with just any, you know, like your webcam, like right now, or you can use pre-recorded video, which is awesome if your talent's not in the room and you just want to have somebody record some video for you. You can use that as facial animation. It's a cool experience that I would say that is an add-on that you would enjoy if you're looking for some things to add on to your experience. But this is like the Reillusion flower of life, and you have it unfolds into all of the areas that we hope you want to go. And it's always going to expand, by the way, with where these capabilities are. There's, you know, some elements are all about character creation. And so you have a lot of round tripping through those kind of digital content creation tools that help your characters evolve and customize. And hopefully, you know, as much as we love Kevin, hopefully it's not Kevin every time, and you can utilize that path to ensure that. And then also for iClone, it's really about your scene layout, your camera lensing, your character animation, face body, editing, motion capture. You can do that as well in there, and bringing it all together and then going either rendering there, a lot of options to render in iClone, or getting out into those engines where you can do interactivity with games and simulations, or you can, you know, start working in more film production pipelines with those and virtual production. So, you know, it's wherever you need characters and animation. This is the whole idea.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Cool. And hopefully we've made it easier than the diagram.
Honestly, that makes it so simple. It's more simple for me. I love it. Awesome. I think so. We're gonna wrap up here. Did you have any shout outs?
Yeah, John, anyone you want to shout out as some cool creators using Realusion
software? You know, there's a lot of dedicated influencers out there that are constantly repping our tools. And do a really good job of some extended tutorials. Solomon Jogwe, you've also got Jonathan Winbush.
Oh yeah,
That yep, does quite Winbush a bit
on the podcast.
Yeah, no, he's fantastic. And you know, there's also private instruction if you're looking for someone to help you. There's an entire page on our website that's dedicated to personal trainers. And many of those folks I talk to, I know that they do that. They like, that's an active thing. So the forums as well, give that a good shout out and, you know, join that up and talk. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a good vibrant community there, and the social media groups, join the Facebook groups. If you're on Facebook, there's a constant dialogue there. Yeah. Yeah. So that's where you can find the community pretty much. We stay on top of stuff through LinkedIn and elsewhere, constant webinars. So stay plugged in. Whenever Unreal Engine is going to release an update, give us about 2 weeks and we'll try and be right there for you. And sometimes we might surprise you. Don't hold me to it, but we really try to stay on top of it.
That has been the pattern. I would say that it hasn't gone longer than that when you need to do an update. And
As long as we don't have like any crazy holidays or any, no,
exactly.
But really though, that's usually about the time that we try to be as close as possible to keep with it. So, you know, and again, the last thing is shout out to the entire team at Realusion. I get to join you guys and have the fun and talk about all these cool things, but the people that do all the super hard work, I have to give a lot of praise and thanks to, because they're really great to work with and, they're good people. So, just know when you're working with our tools, you're supporting a lot of really awesome folks that are serious about what they do. And it's a passion. So, you're paving the way for more passion and more fun tools. Yeah.
That's awesome. Wonderful.
And John, any events you're traveling to soon, if people want to try to stay in touch or reach out?
Yeah. If you know about SIGGRAPH, then awesome.
Is that your shirt? The shirt I'm wearing. Yeah.
There it is. I know you do. And if you don't, you should.
Not me. All him.
It is fantastic. It is my favorite event of the year. It's in Denver this year. I lived there for 5 years, so it's a bit of a homecoming for me. and I cannot wait. So that's going to be at the end of July, 1st of August. And it's always a great time. All the usual suspects in the 3D industry, plus breakdowns and behind the scenes of some of your favorite movies and TV series and stuff, where you get to hear about how they did certain, you know, certain things and pulled off stuff. And you get to hear people like George Lucas give praise to the water guy because, you know, the water was amazing in this or that. So it's a good time. It's Nerdorama. So come join me there.
Cool. So yeah, just to wrap up on our end as well, a couple of events coming up for me. You folks know that I will be at Unreal Fest Europe in about a week, heading over to Prague, and then I'll be in Helsinki after that, and I'm taking some meetings with Vario and maybe a couple other companies over there. So if there's any person, company, whoever you think I should say hi to, maybe you, dear listener, please do reach out. Also want to give a quick shout out to a live stream that Agile Lens is going to have on June 12th. We're finally fulfilling our dream of having a live performance with an LED wall behind, all of that kind of being done as a theater show, but then also as a live stream. So if anyone goes to agilelens.com/RSVP, you'll see a little bit more about this event. We're calling it Build Final, because, you know, it makes sense when you see the theater show. And it's a really fun collaboration with W Lab, formerly R Lab. And we hope it goes well, and we hope people like it. And then we'll do a lot more of them. So yeah, that's happening. And then the final, I guess, just announcement of the day is the hotfix for Unreal Engine 5.4.2 is out. And, you know, thank you, RealLusion, for getting your plugins out quickly. There's still plenty of important plugins that are holding us back from upgrading to 5.4, let alone 5.4.2, because we need the third-party plugins to be available. So, yeah.
Let me add one more thing. So there is, we just launched a character creation contest over at RealLusion.
Right. I had that up too. Damn it.
You got to get in on that. There's a lot of amazing prizes, lots of time to get in there, lots of categories to enter as well. And it's going to run through August. So there it is. You can actually, even if you don't have the tools, you can submit for tools to be able to use for the contest by getting into our work group. And so there's details on that on the website. Definitely jump in there. And we have many contests and stuff that'll go on throughout the time. There's some nice messages from some creators that do exciting things, like Pablo Munoz Gomez and Martin Kleckner. And you can really see also how other artists are posting their work in progress and that sort of. It's really a fun thing to be a part of and watch. And I would definitely encourage folks to get in and get involved. You do not have to be I created a character from a little tiny sphere play. You know, like this is an attainable and approachable character creation contest. So if you've got creativity, we'll have tools that'll match that and help you. And so I would say jump in here and try it out and bring home some of these prizes.
That's awesome.
Exactly. I had that link. That was my first link to the show.
We'll have that in the show notes. So yeah,
that was awesome. Thanks, guys. I appreciate the time with you guys too. And hopefully we can come back for more exciting updates as things evolve.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, John.
Thanks, guys.
And remember, everyone, please like, rate, subscribe, and comment.
That's it. Yeah, good job, Alan. I will never be the person who remembers to say that at the end. Just Alan and Jacob holding down the fort. Thanks, everyone. See you next time. Hopefully, we'll have one more episode before travels begin. But if not, see you on the other side, and we'll have a good recap of all the fun Unreal Fest Europe things on the next episode. Cheers.